Cool. All right, guys. So welcome to another episode of Beer Fish Fanatics. This is Grandy with Ma Pop Fishing, and we have here
Kit with the fishing kit.
and today we have a special guest because this is the first time, and I'm super excited because I'm a huge fan of his. I listen to KXNO religiously every Thursday morning. You guys get an opportunity, you definitely hear his voice. You'll remember him. You'll be like, yes, that's that guy, Mr. Beer with Bruno on Thursday. So thank you so much. We got Bruno here from the Bait Shop and everything to join us. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. So
doing just great.
and the cool thing about today is he knows a hell of a lot more about craft beer than Fishing Kid and myself. I'm a when it comes to beer, I mean, I tried brewing a couple years ago. I'm very novice at best. So we have you on here, sir, so that to help any of the idiotic, because we this is like our 20 something episode. So if we said anything wrong about specific craft beer and the type of stuff, he's going to correct us, and we're going to get fact checked today. You ready, Kit?
Yeah, he probably knows, like, I'm the equivalent of with fishing, and he's like the beer guy.
That's
Yeah. I don't know anything about fishing. I've fished a little bit, but I know a lot about beer. And yeah, I do find a lot of people get close to what the truth is about beer and facts, but they get it wrong sometimes. But
All right, so
it's just beer.
we're gonna get fact checked like a mofo today, kid. I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
So
I mean, I like drinking beer, so
yeah. Well, that's something good. If you like to fish, you better like to drink beer, right?
Agreed. Agreed. So today, what I did, I was going to surprise you, Bruno. I actually went to the Lucky Horse Beer and Cocktails. I wasn't sure. I thought they were going to actually have those cans. So I actually bought my wife a drink there and mixed a cocktail there because they put it in the pouches. That's really cool.
Yeah, we did. We had to switch to the pouches. The state, for some reason, you can't put a cocktail in a can.
Go. That's.
I don't quite understand that. So, but I'm not going to complain. We can sell it in a pouch. We can sell liquor to go, which is kind of cool. But
Yeah, I agree with you. That's cool. So I'm not a huge cocktail guy, but I'm a beer guy. So I go, you know what? I had the bartender. I go, you ever put beer in a pouch? He goes, nope. Well, he did it today. So just to give you a
there you
heads
go.
up, he put a beer in a pouch. And I actually tried I haven't tried this beer. It's Carroll's Brewery.
Carol Red.
Oh,
Carol
Carroll.
Red.
Yeah,
I
Carroll
could
Red.
tell by the I could tell
Oh,
by the pouch.
man, he knows right away instantly. So this is awesome. So he told me, okay, he goes, you're gonna have to cut it open, and you probably most likely you're not gonna drink it with a straw. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna pour this into a cup. So I'm gonna cut it open, and this is kind of a new can opener or tapper. This
There
is
you go.
awesome.
There you go. Yeah, you're tapping that
Oh,
beer.
nice. What are you drinking, Kit?
I got one out from Denver Beer Company out in Colorado. It's the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It is a graham cracker porter with cinnamon and brown sugar. Wow,
Nice.
that's a mouthful.
Hey, you went with the crawler, huh? That's a third. Yeah, you're ambitious there, huh?
Well, I poured my roommate a glass, so he's helping me a little bit.
That sounds good. What are you drinking today, Bruno?
I am drinking BrewDog Punk AF, and I think that's a double entendre, but it means alcohol free.
Well, you know what I was thinking. I was like,
Yeah,
well,
right.
yeah, we'll beep it out anyway, because I was thinking as,
Oh yeah,
yeah.
the guys at the brewery, the owners, I guarantee you, want you to think both of those things, or at least one of them. They want to say, no, oh, no, it just means alcohol free. But what a great brewery. I've been to the brewery in Aberdeen, Scotland. The regular Punk IPA is great, but the alcohol free, I've been dabbling in it recently, and it's kind of really cool. So
Nice, that's awesome. You
it's
know what?
got great flavor. It's unbelievable for what you get, what it is.
Yeah, alcohol. That's the one thing I was like, okay, how's the taste? Because it's alcohol free. Every time I drink an alcohol free beer, it's never been great, I guess you could
No,
say.
this tastes like it tastes like an IPA, but without, I mean, it is a little thin. That's what we would say.
Gotcha.
It doesn't have a lot of body to it because it doesn't have a lot of calories.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of alcohol.
Oh, I might need that, man. I'm getting a little chunky on the chunky side, I guess you could say. So, all right, cheers, everyone.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, this is good. All right, so if anybody listening and watching, definitely if you're in Central Iowa, make sure, number one, you gotta go check out Lucky Horse Beer. This is awesome. I'm gonna actually take my wife there on Thursday. We're gonna have a happy hour date, I guess, get away from the kids for a little bit. So we gotta go check that out. But also to check out El Bait Shop. Bruno, helps runs the El Bait Shop, and it's pretty world renowned, the Bait Shop. I love it because of all the beers on tap. I mean, you guys have, was it over 200 some beers on tap, right?
262 tap handles, yes.
Nice.
Right now, as we speak, we don't have all those on because of COVID.
Yeah.
We've leaned it down a little bit, but we have a 262 at our max capacity. And when we're really chugging away, we go about 50 new beers a week. So
dang, that's a lot of beer.
We go through a lot of beer at the Bait Shop.
Cool. That's a good thing. I mean, that just means that you got a lot of patrons there that come back and just, but you guys, like I said, people listening, you guys come to Central Iowa, come to Des Moines, Iowa. You guys got to check out Bait Shop. It's really cool. It's right next to the High Lounge. You got to check out some of their food is amazing. Is it the broasted chicken? Everybody's got to try that. All right. I'm going to recommend that to everybody. Get that opportunity. It's badass. You guys got to eat that. It's amazing. But the beer, it's second to none. So let's start there. I mean, if you don't mind, Bruno, how the hell did you get into the craft beer business? What was it that drew you into it? I mean, can you quickly start? It might be a long story. I don't know. I don't mind.
Well, I suppose it's somewhat of a little bit of a longer story, but I will say that when I was in college back in the early 90s, I had an opportunity to go to live in Wales in Great Britain. I guess to go way back, the first time I ever drank a beer, I pinched my nose and drank a Yellow Belly. I drank a Coors and wasn't my favorite thing to do. But then when I was in college in Wales, I tried some of the British beers and fell in love with Newcastle, fell in love with Guinness. I loved drinking all the British ales and it kind of, you know, that was kind of cool. Then I came back to, you know, after school, was still drinking, you know, all the PBRs and the hams and all that stuff. but then I started working at Buzzard Billy's and you started to see beer show up. There's a brewery called Pony Express out of Kansas City, but even a bigger brewery called Boulevard started showing up. And Flying Dog that was in Colorado at the time, now it's in Maryland, just had all these crazy beers. They had I can't remember the name, something bitch beer from Flying Dog. All their things are dog related. And the beer came with condoms.
I'm like
this is the most goofball thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, this is kind of a joke, whatever, you know. As I started trying these beers and seeing them, I thought Newcastle Brown, there's nothing ever going to be better than it. Well, then I started trying these craft beers. And this is back in like the late 90s here in Iowa. And I got more and more impressed. I ended up becoming an owner at the Royal Mile. And we went overseas, went to Britain went to London, went to Scotland and drank beer and had a great time and saw, well, man, these beers are great. We got to do this. And back then, imports were pretty big deal. And so we opened up the Royal Mile and I think we opened up with 14 handles and all these different British beers and got really kind of dialed into that. And that went so well, we opened up a German bar called the Hessen House.
That's Boot.
Yeah. and that went well. So then we're like, okay, let's open up the Highlife. So we went back old school and started doing all the old time beers. And then we opened up the Belgian beer bar above the Royal Mile called the Red Monk. And so we're getting all these imports and all these really cool, like the granddaddies of all the beers, all the breweries that all these craft brewers in America started trying out and saying, I got to make this. And so they started replicating these beers. And a lot of early American craft beer was after those breweries, made after some of those. So then you started to see craft beer and I'm like, okay, there's something we should do. And one of my business partners said, you know, let's do 50. And he goes, you should do more than that. I go, 75. He goes, well, how many can you fit on the wall? And I said, I think we can fit 105. And he goes, you should do 105. so we did 105. And back then it was right on the edge of it not being something you could do in Iowa. We didn't get all the beers in. So,
yeah.
So I said, well, we'll do whatever we can. We had 52 beers and three breweries. And then the rest were multiple different breweries. We did Point Brewing, which isn't a big deal anymore in Iowa. You might have remember seeing the beer that Hy-Vee sold as their own, that Baraboo.
Yes,
that was made at Stevens Point out of Wisconsin. But then also we had Shells out of New Ulm, which is a brewery from 1860, family owned, one of the second oldest family owned breweries in America behind Yingling, which is soon to come to the state of Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
We had those, but then 26 of those beers were from Rogue. And we had more Rogue beers on draft than Rogue had at their ale houses out in the West Coast. we got their attention pretty quick. I got to meet the owner. I really started getting into this whole vibe. Right before we opened up, I took a meeting with Fritz Maytag, the legend of craft, you know, the grandfather of craft brewery. You may have heard of Maytag Dairy, you know, the blue cheese and the appliance, they used to make appliances. This company, this guy decided he'd make his own, or buy his own brewery, and Anchor Brewing is what he bought. So I got to meet all these people, got to do all these great things, started to see all this beer, started getting way into it, and then started pushing hard because, you know, Iowa just never gets the respect it should. And there's a lot of great things about it. Did a lot of things with the home brewers. We had a Jimmy Carter happy hour. Some of the early home brewers there, people in that club that we supported. One, Brian Sabus, who opened Twisted Vine. But an even bigger name, John Martin, who opened Confluence. I drank his beer as a home brewer up front. And so we started getting into that. And then, you know, well, we should, bottles really aren't selling. Let's get rid of those. So we got rid of our bottle and we added more handles. And then we added some more handles. And the next thing you know, we're adding handles on the side of a cooler. And now we're at 262 beers. And like I say, at the height of when we're really cranking through beer, we'll go through 50, 75 new beers a week. I've tried thousands of beers in my life. I've gone to hundreds of breweries and got way into it. And next thing you know, I'm just kind of the guy that people ask questions about and what you do. And I've been on the radio with Beers with Bruno, like you mentioned early on, for, I don't even know long, 7 years maybe. Yeah, and it just was sort of it wasn't on a joke. It was like an invite. Hey, you should talk about your place sometime. So I talked about it and he's like, you should go on the radio with us and we could talk about beer, you know, and see how that goes. So we did it. And then they're like, hey, we should do this every week. And the next thing you know, I've got two shows a day on Thursdays. And now I have Whiskey Wednesdays.
Yep.
I'm on KXNO, 1460 KXNO on the AM dial and 103.6 or 106.3 on the FM, and talking about beer but mostly just bullshit. And talking about anything that comes to my mind.
That's awesome. I mean, I bet you probably didn't even think you were ever going to be on the radio talking about beer and that was going to actually be a thing.
Yeah, I've gone from pinching my nose, drinking a beer, to talking on a podcast with you and on the radio. And
go figure.
And I've got a whiskey podcast coming up myself.
Nice.
So, called Iowa Drinks. It's going to actually also be about beer too, but it's with Chris Williams and I, so. I never thought I'd be doing any of this kind of stuff, but I really love it. And I really like you say, educate people. And I don't know if I'm not the kind of guy that would just say something if I didn't know it. And I'm also not the guy, that'll let you say something if it wasn't true. I will correct you because I think it's important that people know like the real story and how it really goes. You know?
Agreed. So. And then I also want to mention, if you go see the LBH shop, those 200 and some plus handles, you guys got to go see it. It's a marvel. When you see all of them all lined up, it's pretty
amazing. I would say it's probably like the second most photographed picture in Iowa behind the state capitol. But then actually we opened up the Iowa Tap Room, which on a side note, we have 199 beers on draft from all Iowa breweries that we did on later on. But the funny fact is that we have 130 Iowa beers on draft at the bait shop. We have more than the Iowa Tap Room does. We don't really talk about it. And you know, you said you're at Lucky Horse Beer and Burgers. I think you may know I own that, but I know that you don't know, or you may not know that I also own the brewery that made the beer you're drinking.
No.
Yeah. I own Carol Brewing.
Hey, I had no idea. All right. I'm drinking a beer that this gentleman right here is. Oh, I love it. I love it.
And if you like that red, the red's in the tanks right now. We ran out of it, so we got new beer coming in 3 weeks. But I think that's the thing about beer. I would like to say, you know, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch beer you're drinking is great and all that, and that's where a lot of breweries are gone. But our brewery is sticking towards maybe the old school. You know, you're drinking a 5% red ale, you know, something very, very old school. Not a lot of gimmicks to it. Although we have a s'mores beer and a blueberry lager coming out, so we're still willing to play.
You know? Right, I usually try to stay away from these newer beers that get super complicated. Like I'm really into the regular old IPA. I mean, I used to hate IPAs, but now ever since I guess got that craft beer taste in my mouth, I I just stuck with IPAs pretty much. And
it's amazing how people go from hating IPAs to they can't drink anything but it.
Yeah. So what do you think is what do you think is like, I guess, the appeal of drinking a craft brew compared to a Bud Light or a Busch Light or whatever?
Well, I think the appeal is that, I don't know, there's no thought given to drinking one after another of a mass marketed beer. I drank plenty on my own time, but now that there's so many different beers available, I just can't see myself ever purchasing in quantity Coors Light, Bud Light, Miller Light, or any of that stuff.
Right.
It's just all that tastes the same to me. My favorite, you know, people ask me, what's your favorite beer? I always say the one in my hand or the one I haven't tried yet, because that's kind of what craft beer is about. And basically Bud Light is the opposite of that, you know? It's the opposite of curiosity. It's, you know, I only want to try this. I only want to drink this one thing. But I would say, you know, I've caved in the side of a can of Old Milwaukee Fishing before, because it tastes really great ice cold out of the cooler. So, I mean, they have their purpose, and I have nothing wrong. I say nothing wrong with it, but if you're really into beer, there's so much more out there, and it's just sort of a wasted, every can of that you drink is a wasted opportunity to drink. Yeah, say a Carol Light. We have, you know, light beer from Iowa.
They do.
You know,
I saw that. I was like, really? I was like, that was pretty badass. I was like, I was going to try that out, but I'll try
it's
that.
It's a very much like a Busch Light, but it's made in Iowa. And I'll tell you, the other difference is that if you're drinking Carol Light or you're drinking beer from Colorado, from all these small breweries, you're supporting people that work in that community. You're supporting people that work at that bar or that brewery. And all that money goes into the pockets of more than likely people that live in the town or the state that you're in. Mm. When you buy a Budweiser, the profits go to Belgium.
Yep.
And it's a Belgium and Brazilian run company. And Coors and Miller are a Canadian company now.
Are they? And, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And outside of America, Miller Coors is owned by Budweiser.
InBev, huh?
AB InBev. So it's just, and that's just the way that, and you'll see a lot of that with craft brewing going forward. You'll see a lot of breweries getting bought up too, but that's just kind of how that is. You also get the third last thing I'd say is that you could have a real opportunity to meet the people that made it. You don't really have an opportunity to meet Mr. Busch, because Mr. Busch doesn't own the company anymore. August Busch the IV sold out in 2008. Mm-hmm. Frederick Miller, there wasn't another Miller that owned the company after that. And on down the line, Pabst and Blatt's and all that stuff, they're all history. They're just a company now that's owned by stockholders and shareholders. But you can go meet John Martin anytime you want. You can drive down to Confluence. And if it's during the day, during the week, you have a 90% chance of talking to that man. And he's a really great guy, and he's got a really great story. So that's what I like too.
I definitely agree. And that's why I started Mod Pop Fishing. And what that is was it was a distribution for, you know, family owned small custom fishing products. And that's what I do. I distribute their, you know, products online, and it's just mom and pop stores. And Fishing Kit here and myself, we're all about, you know, the small businesses and supporting local. And that's a big, I wouldn't even say initiative. It's just something that I truly believe it's going to go back to that we're going to all support small businesses and help them grow, especially after this pandemic. Once it, you know, tailors down or whatnot, I really do think that it's going to go back to that, hopefully. But like you said, I mean, when you buy local, the money stays there. It doesn't, you know, at least 60, I think they calculate like 60% of the money stays within that, you know, 60, 70% stays within your community. So that's definitely something big. And we definitely appreciate it. So.
No, and I think that's the way to. I think that's the way to go. And there is a lot to that. I think I do know that, especially with craft, local is going to be king after all this. It already is doing pretty well right now.
Nice.
Do you happen to know? Is it Kevin from Rod and Rivet?
Kevin,
here in Des Moines, he has a place called Rod and Rivet. It's a trout fishing place.
I think Ross brought him up.
Yeah, Ross did bring him up. I don't think Ross.
He's a really cool guy. I was in a breakfast club with him, but yeah, he is way into. He worked in a fashion for a while, but he really got into trout fishing. So now he's like the kind of the one. He's right on Franklin, I think.
I think he was Ross talking about fly fishing, right, Kit? I think it was fly fishing. Yeah, yep. That's because okay. First of all, I was telling Ross I'm not that good of a fisherman, so I don't need to make it that much harder because it's like another level to fly fish. I'm like, all right, I can barely catch fish as is right now, guys. So let's not increase the difficulty level, but. That is something I definitely wanted to look into, but yeah, we're definitely we're talking to Ross.
Yeah, I just know. I mean, it's when you're talking about local and locally owned and small deal, it's he and his wife, I think, and that's it. Awesome. And he's got a passion for that sport, which I do know is a little bit beyond you know your Shakespeare rod and real you know real simple stuff. That's what I have out in the garage, and yeah. I fish never. I have golf clubs, and they only get used less than my fishing rod.
Oh boy! Yeah. Well, you sound like me though, because I have golf club. I mean, I used to golf. I was huge into golfing, but yep. Once the four daughters came to play, I was like, I barely get one round a year at best, and it's okay. And
yeah,
you know, I'm not gonna lie. You know, my wife doesn't watch this and doesn't listen to this. I kind of started this whole fishing business and the whole fishing thing, so somewhat I can kind of say, hey, I gotta go work, kind of, honey. Yep. So I gotta go recon or network a little bit, fishing, you know, and beer, like, yeah, you know.
Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine what my excuses are? I gotta go buy whiskey. I gotta go, you know, I gotta go to work. Like tomorrow, I'm going to work, and I'm gonna be trying a barrel pick from a Cody Road Distilling. We're gonna pick a barrel with Chris Williams. Chris Williams and I are gonna help pick a barrel. And that's what I'm going to do for work tomorrow. So, you know, it's rough.
It's rough. rough life sometimes once in a while. Yeah. But actually, there was one question I wanted to ask you to clear up. Because I think there was I think it was back when we had Float Fish. We had Denny, Float Fish Adventures, as a guest. And we were drinking a can that had OG. So this was the thing. So OG, we were like, I do remember because I used to brew. So I think it's something like, I wasn't sure because these guys were like, is it original gangster? No. I think it was like original gravity, I believe. I go, and I think it helps predict the alcohol content at the end. I think it was like a science behind it. I remember because I used to do that beaker water thing, whatever.
Hydrometer or whatever.
Yes. That was the word I couldn't figure out, Kit. It was hydrometer. Yes. And I was using that, and it helps you find out the original the OG. And then it supposedly helps you predict actually gives you the alcohol content at the end. Is that right?
I think it's original and then terminal. So where it's basically measures the amount of sugar in the beer. And then as that sugar turns to alcohol, it changes the level of that, the measurement. And the difference between those two is your alcohol content. Now, as far as that goes, I don't know. They talk about Plato is Plato, the philosopher. not Plato, but Plato. And
gotcha.
I know.
And then, and then they talk about ABV and ABW. And then they talk about original gravity and all that. And there's all different ways, and it's about being taxed. And sometimes it's about just how they measure it. Sometimes it's really sciencey. And then other times it's just for the common person. And I stick with ABV. That's all war. It's a window into how much science goes into brewing. A lot does. And the more science people put into it, the better the product. And if you want to say one really good thing about the major breweries is that they are so technically sound that they can dial in a beer and make it exactly the same every single time. And the only way they can do that is through a hell of a lot of science. It's pretty much, it's phenomenal how much they can crank out and how they do it and how consistent they make it come out. So.
Yeah, because I've been to the Coors Light Brewery because I have a lot of family out there in Denver. I have all my in-laws are out there, and they send like Fish and Kit right there. The beer you're drinking today, did you get that from my in-law?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So we always swap beers, and that's a cool thing. And Denver, obviously, I'm sure you know they have they're huge in regards to the breweries and everything. I go there, I hit as a new brewery every time I go and visit them. But the Coors Light Brewery, you're right. Just to see the amount that they push out, it's unbelievable. You just see them just can after can after can bottle. It's insane.
Well, and it's crazy is that, and I think until recently they made all their beer out of there. Every Coors Light and all that came out of there. Yeah, and it's just west of Denver, up in the foothills, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Or whatever you call it, before the really gets into the Rockies. But yeah, it's right there. And it doesn't have the one thing that, you know, they talk, the mountain stream, the cold, the water, the river right next to that is the grossest thing you ever look. It's all dirt and it's not nice. It doesn't look anything like on the label or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He's like, no, bro,
it's all marketing.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say that, but you're spot on. I like, where's the where's the beautiful picture of the waters coming down the mountains?
That's probably the downside, or that's the other thing about those big breweries is they're more of a marketing company that happens to sell beer than a beer company. You know, I think that the AB InBev would be happy making money, and however they made the money, they'd be happy. Which brings you to why fermented malt beverages or FMBs are so popular now. The White Claws.
Stuff,
you know, okay. I predict White Claw will be like 10% of the market by in the next decade or 5-6 years.
So yeah, my in-laws, kids on my text message with them, I mean I'm just like, I can't do it. The seltzer stuff, I just can't do it. It's just
yeah, it ain't for me.
It's not for me. I just can't do it.
First time I ever had it, and I got like, these guys were really upset, but I was talking to the guy from Sam Adams about Truly. And he was like the regional manager, and I had already described this before, but he asked me what I thought. And I said, they taste like you iced down, you took a drink that was from the night before, 12 hours ago, where the alcohol, you know, was a mixed cocktail, and then it all went flat and it all went, you know, the ice melted, and then he cooled it down, and that's what you're drinking. It tastes like a watered down drink. And I don't know. I just have an issue. I mean, it's sort of the thing with the multiple same beers and everything. It's, and I also have a problem with vodka, and I don't want to say it's a problem. I just, you have to really ask yourself why. Why are you drinking this? Why are you drinking your 10th Bud Light? Now, usually by the time you're drinking a 10th Bud Light, you're not asking yourself that question. You don't have the capacity.
True.
Why are you drinking of something that doesn't taste like anything? Vodka. Why are you drinking these flavored, you know, one after another, and without ever really enjoying them? You're just getting drunk. I'm like, hey, you know what? Why don't you smoke weed and drink water? Tomorrow's going to be so much better day for you.
That's just a good one. Oh, you know,
I'm not saying that they have problems. I'm not like calling them out and saying you have a problem. I'm just saying, you know, if you took one step back and were aware of what you're doing, man, you could be, I mean, I would rather have Carol Red, a NA beer like I'm drinking, and the Cinnamon Toast Crunch than a six pack of Mango White Claw or a vodka tonic. You know, it's like,
I can't wait till my in-laws hear this. Yes. I'm going to be like, cause they crumb on me. I'm like, dude, just quit wearing your skirts, man. I'm not going to lie, guys. Just put on some pants, drink a beer. It's okay. It's okay. Drink a real beer. You know, it's all right.
Well, but, you know, what's funny is you want to, you know, you say you have kids, you know, so you know all about that. Watch a 2-year-old and tell them how they need to have something or drink, you know, they have to eat something. And then watch a 42-year-old and tell them you're going to have something besides Bud Light. And I will tell you that both those people act exactly the same. They act like 2-year-olds. They can't possibly do anything outside of what you just said. I have to have Bud Light. I just have to have it. It's like, and they get all like you're the biggest a-hole in the world for like, just going, hey, you know, try something different, you know, eat this Brussels sprout, you know, try something different, you know.
Right.
It's like the biggest, and you know, and then people who drink straight out of the bottle, you know, that bugs me too. And I always go, I haven't drank from a bottle since I was a baby.
So does that make a difference? Okay. I mean,
it makes a lot of difference. I'm drinking out of a can, straight out of the can.
Uh-huh.
But if you have, I don't have a glass around me. If you have a glass, and it gives you the ability to smell the beer, mm-hmm. you know, and 70-80% of taste is smell. And when you're drinking it straight out of the bottle, I mean, that's by design to a point. You don't really want to smell that Coors Light or Bud Light, because there isn't really much anyway. And you certainly don't want to let it warm up so you can smell it, because I don't know if you all have ever had warm mass produced beer, but it's not good when it's warm.
Nope. Agreed.
No, yeah, we've all
drank it in college.
We've
but,
all
you know,
been there.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait for it to get cold. I'm drinking it right now. I mean, I've done that, but I'm not. It's not. It's meant to be. I mean, Coors Light. There's a reason they sell it at 29 degrees and try to sell it to you like almost below freezing, right?
Yeah. It's
because the less you know, the cold filtered and that whole nonsense. It's all just to get you to drink it before you can taste it. It's just so cold that it's just cold, and that's you're just drinking cold.
Yeah, because it tastes like warm. Ass when it gets warm. Oh, no,
it is. You're right. No, you don't think about it, but no, that is spot on. Because why are we drinking always? It has to be super super cold. Oh, it's so good when it's super super cold, but you don't taste. You're right.
Yeah,
it's just
that's the whole thing. Yeah, you don't taste anything when stuff is really cold, right?
Oh wow! Cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that.
I'm gonna have to these NAs are going down like water.
Well, they're not alcoholic, so that's a good thing. But are the calories still pretty high in those things?
No, that's the thing. The calories on they have one called Nanny State that has 21. It's 21 calories per can.
No, and it still 21. Tastes pretty good, huh?
It tastes. So that one has a little color to it. I will tell you, it's not going to be like a juicy, you know, 7%. It's not going to taste like Des Moines IPA.
Okay.
But it doesn't taste terrible. It tastes good. I mean, I would say maybe it's like the White Claw of beer. You know, I mean, it's sort of watered down, you know, but it doesn't, you know, and you can thank White Claw. You can thank Michelob Ultra for that. Michelob Ultra kind of rung in all this and got everyone kind of excited. And I would tell you, like, drinking a Michelob Ultra is like drinking soda water.
Thank you.
You cannot taste anything.
It's horrible.
But this, I mean, there's like, I think Nanny State has like 7 hops. They have a bunch of different hops and it's good. They also have a stout that tastes, it's kind of on the coffee side of things. I don't know, think it has coffee in it, but it has that flavor. And then they have a hazy IPA. So they have 4 different alcohol-free beers, which is 0.5%. But you could drink, God, I can't remember, I figured it out. You could drink 1 Des Moines IPA or drink like 8 of these punk IPAs. And I'm not really so much worried about the calories. It's just like, if when you turn, I turned 50 this year, when you start drinking beer and you don't care about the calories, if you're 50 and you need to drink 3 or 4 crawlers of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it's a great way to get pretty big really quick, you know? So, I mean, I know that for a fact, cause I've lost 100 pounds over the last year.
Nice.
On the beer, you know, it's drinking a little bit more whiskey. I always say, like, and I could say it right now, I'm pretty sure anyone I'm talking to, I've pretty much guarantee you I've drank more beer than you ever will in your life already. I mean, I drink a lot of beer, and I know a lot about it because I drank it, not just because I read about it. So
cool.
But
that's pretty cool. Not a lot of people can say that.
Not a lot of people should have to say that. That's not like, I don't think you should get an award for drinking the most beer, you know?
Nothing wrong with that. It's all right. I like, we love the beer. It's one of those items, you know, that you can have in any situation. I feel you can have a beer in almost any, whether it's a business meeting, a casual meeting, a birthday party, a sitting at home, you're just watching TV, sporting event. It's one of those things that I feel like a beer can just, I mean, I'm not talking about 20. I'm just talking about a beer.
Oh yeah, no, and I mean, I think beer is, well, the beer is a social beverage. When we had the Oktoberfest, we didn't have it this year because of COVID, but we've had that for 12 years, and we've only had the police come in like once or twice the whole time. It's just not the kind of thing where people are drinking. You know, you see the Oktoberfest and they're drinking these huge liter mugs and they're just slamming beer, and all that people do is just get happier and happier.
Yeah.
Like, you go to a place that's serving pretty cheap cocktails, and everyone's drinking vodka and whiskey all night.
Oh,
you're gonna see fist fights and angry people and all sorts of different things. It's just a fundamentally different beverage. And I've never seen anyone who drank a bunch of beer and then became really crazy. You know, I think beer's a great thing. It's done a lot of great things for me. I just, like I say, I've moved on. Actually, I think more than anything, I've topped off intellectually. I want to know more about something else. I know so much about beer that I'd like to know something about something else.
All right, Kate.
Hey, you can get into fishing now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Oh, speaking of fishing, you went on a fishing trip with Ross, right? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So we went a couple of years in a row. I can't wait till we go next year, but it's a fishing trip up in Canada. And like I said, before we went on, is that I'm not a shopper. I'm a buyer, and I'm not a fisher. I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a fisher. I'm a catcher. And, and I've fished before. I fished in Northern South Dakota, and that was pretty fun. And one of the first times we fished, we caught a ton of fish. Then the next times we fished, we didn't catch much of anything for the whole time. And that just really took the fun out of it. But we'd always be going around trying to find a spot, you know, where can we find the fish, you know, where they're going to start biting, you know, and then they bite and then they kind of go off. In Canada, when we fished, you'd fish and then you just get bored of catching and catching. So you just want to go and see if you can catch it another place. Unlike, you know, and that's just great. You're just catching walleye after walleye. And then every now and again, you catch a northern. I mean, I know northerns can get really big, but I caught a pretty, I think it was like a 35 pounder or something. It was a monster.
Wow.
It was jumping out, you know, jumping out. I got video of it jumping out of the water, all the way from a tail completely out of the water. And that was just a great time. And my dad went along and he caught, I think he was getting a little annoyed at how many fish I was catching, but he was catching two, but I caught that and then he caught one. And so like he got to catch a northern, and you know, we just don't fish a lot. So catching a northern is pretty fun. And that was a big highlight. And then we do, you know, the shore lunch and just, what is it? The Lake of the Woods is 65,000 miles of shoreline. Yeah, I mean, that's insane, right?
It's, like
people that live their whole life will never see the whole thing. It was just, it's astounding. The beauty of the place and just the way the place looks, and it has this untouched feel that you don't get to see, you know, even just pulling off and you catch quick a few in the morning and you go have a shore lunch and,
yeah,
eating fish that was swimming hours before and that kind of stuff. That trip is amazing. If anyone ever thought to want to go, we go to the Black Island through I can't remember the name of it.
Ballard's Resort?
Ballard's Resort. Yeah. You go through Ballard's. And the first night we were there, and I think it was just every night. I figured it out that every day they cook the same thing. But we showed up on Saturday the first time we were there. Mm-hmm. First night was shrimp cocktail. Like the shrimp were like, like U10s or whatever, or 1120s, where, you know, which means that you can get 11 to a pound, and shrimp aren't that big. So the shrimp are just huge. And so you get like five of those when we sat down, and then we had prime rib and the food was amazing. And then we go fishing, we stay out on this island, and then we go fishing twice a day. And it was all, I mean, the weather was great. It was a little cold the first time, it rained a little bit, but it doesn't matter if it's raining, if you're catching, right? So
exactly. Right. And we talked to Ross about this, because what we're going to do is definitely, we told him to let us know next year. We'll let any of our guests know, because I know on KXNO, on Sports Fanatics, they always, you know, promote it in regards to if anybody wants to take that trip, you know, that you guys are about to do that trip. So we're definitely going to.
Not even that much. I think it's like, I think it's like 1,700 maybe all total.
For the whole week, right?
For the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Now you got to get up there, and that's quite a haul. You got to go the length of Minnesota to get there, but that's the worst part of it, right? Mm. Everything else is, you fish for about 5 days. It's just a great time. They got all the normal amenities. You got Wi-Fi, you know, well, it's not the greatest Wi-Fi, but they have TV. we watch the Hawkeyes and
nice.
And we watch, you know, watch baseball, you know, and that kind of shit. It was fun. It was a great time.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about it.
I hope, Fishing Kid could probably do it. You know, next year or whatnot. I probably can't, not for a while. I got to wait till the kids are a little bit bigger, because I still got two that are still in diapers and the other two are still crazy. Yeah. So
I got an 11 and 12 year old, so I'm good.
I'm praying for that day a little bit, but not too soon too.
Yeah, you know, before you don't want to ever wish for that, because it's already, already here for me. And enjoy it when they're young, and you got plenty of time. But that kind of fishing trip, it's amazing what you get for what you do. And like I say, I don't fish that much, but when I do, I want to enjoy my time. And that's a great getaway.
Do you guys get a chance to hit any craft brews up there in Canada?
You know, the thing about up there is it attacks you like crazy on your beer. So
really?
And like, well, for two things, Lake of the Woods, they don't have like that area of Canada. They don't really have any kind of any beer whatsoever. And if you're going to buy it, it's all like Molson or whatever, you know, and Canadian beers aren't really my favorite. They're kind of a weird thing to me. I know some people like Moosehead and all that stuff, but that's not my thing. So we tend to drink whiskey. I tend to drink whiskey. I brought beer. We did bring, I brought a bunch of crazy beers the first year we went up, a lot of hard to get stuff. And that was fun. And that's still part of what we do. But you can bring, 2 liters of alcohol per person or Thanks. 2 cases of beer. And I think we know what's going to last longer as far as, what you're going to get out of it. So so that's kind of what we do. I also know it's legal in Canada to smoke weed, but I don't know if there's even really anywhere to get it in that area, but I think it's one of those things, you get it over the border and you're good, but do you really want to take your chances? But I suppose, I'm from the restaurant industry, so I'm a little bit more, open with that idea, but the further we go down the line, and you say you go to Colorado a lot, I don't think what we're talking about is too crazy of a thing.
Right.
Five years ago, it might be like, are you insane? Why don't you keep it down on the cannabis talk? But I don't think we're that far. We're getting to be pretty much surrounded by all the states around us.
Yeah, Illinois just legalized it this year.
Last year.
It's just,
it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Agreed.
I always say there's 3 things that are legal in the state of Iowa that are more harmful to you than cannabis, and they are smoking cigarettes, gambling, and alcohol.
Agreed.
All 3 of those will ruin your health and your life a lot faster and harder than cannabis ever will. So I find it a little hard to believe that we're taking this long, but I know that there's obviously some issues on the federal level that there's some kind of hang up that I don't quite know about. But
I agree. Nope, it's one of those things where it's out of our control, but it's the dump. Like, common sense doesn't ring in with that.
I guess your doctor, they won't send my doctor to the Caribbean for cannabis. They will for pharmaceuticals. So maybe maybe that's what that's all about.
I wanted to ask one thing. Drinking beer, cold, warm? I heard this one time, you're supposed to drink beer warm. Is that true? Like, you can get the best craft beer. I'm not talking about a Bud Light or a Tour
Light. The thing on that is you usually drink it closer to the temperature it was brewed at or fermented at.
Okay.
And so a lager beer, which is your Coors Miller and Bud stuff, is a lager beer. But lager beers are fermented cold, and so you should drink them around, in a colder, 40 degrees, 42 degrees or whatever. Mm-hmm. But ales are meant to be a little bit warmer. I don't know if you've ever been to, say, a place where, like the bait shop, or a place where they're drinking craft beer and they have like a stout, like that Cinnamon Toast Crunch beer you're drinking right now. I would probably warm it up in my hand. It will get better as it gets warmer. And to drink it warm, hot, I don't know about that, but I don't think much beer is meant to be drank at room temperature usually. But drinking it warmer, 50, 55 degrees there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually, the flavors open up more. It's like we were talking about before, those beers are made to be super cold, so you can't taste them. Well, you can't taste beer if, like anyone hands me, it's like, hey, do you want a frosted mug? I'm like, no, that's the last thing I want. Usually you want a warm glass so it'll warm it up a little bit. So it's not drinking it hot or anything like that, but it's definitely better. It opens up more when it's warmer. Ales are.
So there was some truth behind. Okay. So I wasn't sure, because, when I brewed a little bit a couple of years ago, and then I read it or whatever, like, you should try and drink it. I think, like you said, a little bit warmer than room temperature. So,
and I've drank beer. I brewed my own beer, homebrew kit, when I was in Wales. I went to school in Wales, like I said, and I brewed my own, and I could only keep it as cold as it would get in my windowsill. I was drinking it fairly warm, but it wasn't cold. Fairly. It was like, if you put it out right now, it's about how the weather was there. Mm-hmm. So, it's not ice cold, but that's the thing. Ice cold over in Europe is generally not a thing that happens. So.
Gotcha. Cool. Interesting. Cool. You got anything else for Bruno, Kit?
I don't know. We usually, when we're getting towards the end, we usually like try to ask, like, is there any, like, you know, social media or, you know, things that you got, things that you're working on that you want to throw out there for us, Bruno?
Well, like I say, look for Iowa Drinks with Chris Williams and I. Great drinks, good people. We're going to go out and talk to different people that are in the industry. We're going to be talking to distillers. We're going to be talking to brewers. We're going to be talking to rural bar owners and dive bar owners and customers of cocktail bars and customers of rural bars and college bars. And we'll be talking about everything from water to whiskey.
Nice.
And I think that'll be a lot of fun. So look for that. But I would encourage, I know you're taking your wife and you were there today, but to send people to Lucky Horse Beer and Burgers. It's what I would call, and I don't know what you think, it's the top of the craft for me. It's the best I've ever, I built that place. I designed it and put it together, and it's the last one I'm ever going to do. So I think we did a great job with it. And the food is phenomenal. The beers are going to be, we're working on really getting a really good eclectic, great beer list put together beyond where we're at. We have frozen cocktails there. It's great. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is check out Ken's below the Iowa tap room. Ken's, KEN'S. It's named after Ken, a Sondelighter. And, it is a not so secret speakeasy, and it's got 10 beers on tap, but it's got a lot of really cool whiskeys, and it's this really great vibe below the Iowa tap room.
Awesome. Yeah, because when my brother-in-law comes in town, Kit, we gotta take them because they are a bunch of whiskey heads.
So. Oh, they'll love that place. It's awesome. Really cool. It's gaining a lot of popularity. And then upstairs, of course, we have 99 beers on tap. So you're gonna get all the best Iowa beer you can find, and then down in the basement you'll be able to have some cocktails and or have some more beer, some great whiskeys and all sorts of things. We even have vodka and vodka drinks. The younger crowd had to talk me into that, but we have everything for everyone. And I think that's a good one too. And we opened Rita's too over the, I don't know if you ever checked out Skull, but Skull was basically the heart of Skull ended up in Ken's. The whiskey went down to there Skull turned into Rita's, our Mexican cantina. And that place has done really well too. And as far as social media and all that, so that's kind of that's more of the real world check it out stuff as far as that goes. But and I think right now we have a deal going at the Iowa Tap Room at Bait Shop. If you buy a $50 gift card, you get a free crawler of beer. If you buy a $100 gift card, you get three crawlers of beer. And basically what that means is you get $15 off of your $50 or $45 on your $100 purchase. So you're almost getting a half price gift card if you're already going to buy some beer anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, that's a shoot. I'm going down there for some pro Christmas tips. Is coming up. Yeah, I'm going down there. That's good.
Some pro tips, but I got so many things going on in so many different places, but they're all really good. I'll say the last thing. I don't know if you've ever been to the library, but that's really near my home, and we got 41 beers on tap and 35 seats. And we have to do some really great beer, and it's a really good time there too. But
amazing brunch.
Check us out wherever you want. Yeah. Great brunch.
I'm not gonna lie. Library, the brunch there. Kate,
we got the been library. There? You ever had the library latte?
I haven't.
Yeah, that's got like a Friedrich's cold brew coffee, rum chowder, and a whole bunch of other things.
All right,
apparently, it's just a huge seller, and people love that. And you get a pouch of that anytime, but definitely goes well on the weekends with your brunch.
All right. Sounds good. My wife is going to be, she's a brunch girl, so she's going to love that stuff, but she loves the dark beer too. So, I mean, she loves the stouts and the porter. So, it's one of those things. It must run in the blood, because all her brothers loved it. They kind of love me, because they're like, man, all the time, I was drinking craft beer all the time. So it is what it is. But like Bruno said, you know what? Shop local. And if you're not anybody listening to this, whether you're from out of state, anywhere else. Come to Central Iowa. It's I agree with you. We are underrated in regards to the craft beer, underrated in regards to food and everything. And then, like I said, my in-laws come and visit us all the time. They're from Denver, big city area. I used to live in California in, you know, the NorCal area. I'm telling you, Iowa craft beer and food scene is very underrated, because once people come, they are addicted.
And it's just not so overrun like it is out in California. You know, 1,000 breweries in California, we only have 120 here, right? And, I think we're sort of like Austin used to be, although we'll never be where Austin is today. But, you know, but it was a hidden thing, and everyone all of a sudden it's like, wow, this place is so cool. And then, you know, anyone that ever comes, they're like, I wish I didn't have to go there. But then when they get here, they're like, this place is great.
Yep.
And then, you know, and people don't want to leave because it's so good, you know? Yep. So, and I'm fine with it being a little bit of a secret. And I'm also, I love to have people see what they think when they get here. I love showing off. I'm a Iowa native. I love showing off Iowa to people, surprising them with what we got. You know, I mean, the trout fishing up in Northeast Iowa, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm not a big, like I say, I'm not a big fisherman, but that kind of thing, it just blows you away. When I have friends that have gone up there, and you see the fish, the hatcheries and the stuff they have up there, and the people that go up, and then you can go to TG or Pulpit Rock or Shara's. I don't know if you've ever heard of Shara's. It's a Algerian American restaurant that has great beer. It's in, it's in Elkader, Iowa. It's just, there's so many things in this state that'll blow your mind away that, it's so great. I love it. And all the things I love the most are the things that are just small, local, and here for Iowa's only. Not for Iowa only,
When you come here, you can indulge once you get here. So, I agree. What we'll do is all the things that you mentioned, we'll put in the show notes and everything. I highly recommend anybody reach out to us, because all the places that Bruno is a part of, I indulge in, and my wife indulges in. So they are great places to eat, drink, and just socialize. It's I love it. So other than that, man, thank you so much, Bruno. I mean, the knowledge you dropped on us, I hope we get an opportunity to get you back on whenever you, I know you're a busy man, but I want to learn even more about like the process of the beer and all that stuff when we get an opportunity, because I know a lot of people are asking, you know, how does it work when it comes to brewing all that stuff, but I go, that's a whole nother.
I'm totally available. I've said recently, I'm kind of open to the idea of sharpening my knives,
nice,
and boning up on the material. I'm reading a book, Wood, Whiskey, and Wine, but it's basically the story of barrels. I'm just addicted to learning about everything that, you know, that has to do with the whiskey and beer industry. So I'm
nice.
Constantly learning new things and would love to talk about them. So.
Awesome. So next time we're jotting that down, kid. We're going to talk about whiskey. We're going to talk about fishing a little bit, because, you know, he's taking all these trips with Ross. So he's going to get a little bit better at fishing, and we got to take him out. We got to take him out fishing.
Do a little urban fishing.
Exactly. We got to do
that. I didn't even know you could do it in fish ponds here in Des Moines.
Oh, yeah.
All about that.
There you go. So we'll do that. And then, like I say, we'll definitely put everything on the show notes, and, you know, come to Iowa, man. You got to try some of this beer. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. This is a badass beer, Bruno. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.